in a little church in Heath, Massachusetts, a visiting preacher used an original prayer that caught the fancy of one of the worshipers. And so after the service, the person asked the minister if he could have a copy, and the minister said yes and gave him the text. The preacher was the well-known theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, and the prayer since that time has come to be known as the Serenity Prayer. And frankly, it's quite beyond all telling how many millions and millions of people have since that time used that prayer in an effort to discover some direction in the search for wisdom in their lives. Oh God, give us serenity to accept what cannot be changed, courage to change what should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. The very popularity of that prayer reflects the truth that deep down in the heart of each and every one of us, there lies a yearning for true wisdom. Sometimes it's a vague kind of feeling because you are already preoccupied with all the problems that press upon you from every direction in your daily lives. How to find a job, how to keep a job, how to avoid illness, how to keep your neighborhood free from crime, how to feed and clothe your family. And in the search for answers to those kinds of problems, it's obvious that we tend to lose touch with the ultimate problems. Like, what is the meaning of our life? What is the meaning of death for each of us? Is there any real ultimate meaning to my place and to my time given to me right now while I live in this world, in this town, in this job, with this particular family God has given me? Is there some kind of eternal resonance, an everlasting meaning to what I am doing now? Is there going to be a final amen? Is it all worthwhile? And of course, each of us says, well, I know the answer, at least verbally, but we all know the answer verbally, but there's a big difference between doing that and, on the other hand, being able to recognize that also buried within us, there should be a living conviction, a real vision of what gives direction to our lives, and that in turn should be able to color all that we say and do and think. Now, the kind of wisdom that Jesus came to give us is centered about the primary idea of the good news, and that is the kingdom of God. In St. Mark's Gospel, we are told that the very first statement of his teaching from Jesus were encased in the words, "The reign of God is at hand. Reform your lives and believe the good news." And having said that, it was not enough for him simply to announce the coming of the kingdom or its presence. Rather, he spent then 3 whole years looking for every possible kind of metaphor, parable, analogy, in order to bring home the meaning of what he meant by that mysterious statement. He would say again and again, "What is the reign of God like? To what shall I compare it? The flowers of the field, the city set high on a hill, a man who went out to the field to sow some seed, or it's like buried treasure, or a pearl of great price that is given to someone." All of these parable stories were familiar to the people who were listening to him at that time. And they were all possible ways of throwing light on the mysterious words that the kingdom of God is already here, activated in our midst. And today he tells us three more stories, little parables about the kingdom of God. Now in the old days, which may not have been more than 20 years ago for some of you, there's no doubt that many people thought that the kingdom of God simply meant heaven and nothing else. Even though all of your lives you had been saying the Our Father, at least every day of your life, with those words that are also mysterious, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, there still was a prevailing sense, even though you said those words, that really the earth was a bad place and that God was somewhere far away up in his heaven, and that the primary business of the church here was simply to prepare you for death. Today, in the last several decades, because we have such excellent scripture scholars, there's a real breakthrough to what this means as a more fundamental truth that should direct our lives and give it meaning. Namely, that the living God in spirit is already here upon this earth now, and that this earth now is good. As the opening prayer of today's Eucharist stated so clearly and beautifully, that the living God, the Father, sent his Son to become man, and then sent the Spirit to dwell within us, to become his body here upon earth. That the living God dwells within each one of us personally, and as a faith community, which we call the church, and that the living God now is inviting all of us through the church, the faith community of which we are members, to transform this earth now, which is simply another way of saying to redeem it. Each of us is called upon in one way or another to work together to transform this earth, to bring the healing touch of God's presence to all that we say and do and think. That no matter what we do in life, assuming that it is good, no matter how many people we touch, though it might be only one or two each day, every single good action, we assume they're all good. Not only do those actions touch and affect those people to whom they are directed, but because no person is an island, and because all of us are together as one family, everything that we do affects the entire cosmos, and the world never again will be what it was before we touched it, by doing something good to someone. That is how closely we are interrelated and how the world is being transformed now, and how the healing touch of the living God is at work now. The kingdom of God is at work now through us personally, and because we are members of the church that brings the good news to keep us in the right direction. This earth is the place of transformation. And the parable that we heard today about the pearl of great price, which is our faith, really is telling us today on a hot July morning, hang in there. Don't give up that pearl of great price which gives meaning to your lives, particularly when you feel impatient, when you simply become weary and worn out, when you discover how long this transformation might take and what a mixed up business it does sometimes become. through you, through us. Transformation is going on right now, and the healing touch of God's goodness and peace is being spread to people who live in darkness as we bring them light. When people ask me sometimes, what happens after we do become a church or a parish? This is what happens. We share the gifts that the Lord has given to us. We are the ones who are so fortunate. And there's one more thing we should also learn from today's scripture. We should never become too quick to judge others. When we hear the gospel this morning about the wicked and the just and say, we're the good guys and our neighbor who lives in darkness is the wicked one, and he will be thrown into the fiery furnace, whereas we said as children, he will gnash his teeth forever. That's not true. What if there is no fire? The gospel always uses figures of speech. The literal meaning is not to be taken at face value necessarily. What the figures of speech mean in today's parable is that in the day of fulfillment, the day of the kingdom, when the world is transformed, goodness will endure and evil will no longer be. And so it's wrong to see ourselves as the good guys and the other people as the bad guys, but rather to recognize the mystery of the parable. That in every one of us, there's a strange, mysterious mixture of what is good and evil, grace and sin. It doesn't mean that at the end of time, the angels are going to separate, but rather it means that right now, through the inspiration of the grace of God, in our lives, there will be a separation of what is corrupt and what is good. Is invited to continue to grow so that we become a whole people, that we become a holy people, a holy community. The reign of God is at hand. Change your minds, reform your lives, and believe the good news. The most important thing of the good news, the gospel today, is just that. The good news is that the reign of God already has begun. And that God's work is going on right now, whereby this earth, despite the present problems, is rapidly becoming the kingdom, even though it might take another million years. God the Father acted definitively through the failure and the death of his Son. For through his death, he destroyed death and gave us his life. As the church of the resurrection, his risen life is in us. And we no longer need fear death, and we recognize that our lives are worthwhile. They are worthwhile because the life of the risen Christ is in each of us and in our community. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is here.